Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello again, everyone. This is Apostle Johnny Floyd. Some call me the minister. I've been called the elder. Some have called me the preacher. And some call me bishop. And some, I'm just a good old brother. But it is Tuesday, January the 18th. And we are here respectfully ready to discuss and talk about some things that I think is going to shape and form how we move forward as children of God and as people living and occupying this land. But before we get started, I want to go into a word of prayer. Pray with your brother. Gracious God, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I am grateful for the many things that you have done. And Lord, I thank you, O God, for my friends, my family, the people that you have kept safe, my loved ones, and God, the people that are seeking you and willing and ready to. Lord, I bless you tonight, Father, that you speak to your people, those that would have an ear to hear, and that they will open up their spirit and receive exactly what's being said. Father, there's a message to someone particularly tonight, and God, I pray that their ears are open and their spirit is willing, Father, and they have the courage to obey what you are telling them to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Dear hearts, I'm excited about knowing who God is. And excuse me if you hear me clear my throat, just trying to get over some things. Extremely excited about people having the ability to hear from the Lord. I believe that we are in a crazy and eventful, difficult, and dangerous time period. Yet we are in a good place, but yet dangerous. You know, a writer once said, this is the worst of times, and yet this is the best of times. You know, one thing that you will constantly hear me say from a very sincere place and where I stand is a person's ability to hear from the Lord. Now, we give all these caveats, all these disclosures regarding people that have come, as we say, to Christ. And it's crazy on how we say that when Jesus says that you have chosen me, but I chose you. And so we keep offering Christ to people that we believe don't know him the way that we do. And in that process, there are various lanes that a person can go down in order to facilitate Christ to someone, or various lanes of the person seeking who Christ is, the anointed one, Jesus himself, various lanes they can go down to discover this within themselves. And there is no roadmap that man has orchestrated that will put you directly in contact with Jesus. And I want to clarify, and I'm going to take my time tonight. There is no plan that man has that can put you in an audience with Jesus. That there is no ABC 1, 2, 3. We as ministers, we want to believe that the thing that we are speaking to or addressing you in the direction of Jesus Christ. And so oftentimes, through our own way of making this presentation, we are actually introducing who Jesus is to us. And so who Jesus is to us may not ever be who Christ or Jesus Christ is to you. And so when we make this presentation, we are presenting to you our failures, and in our failures, how Christ came to lift us up. And oftentimes we don't tell, we give you bits and pieces, highlights, that it may illuminate some things and cover up others. If y'all just bear with me tonight. So the difficulty in this is that who Jesus really is gets clouded because of the presentation that we have made. And so I'm going somewhere. Y'all just stay with me now. So it becomes vitally important that a new introduction is made so you are not linking up with me, but you're linking up with God. Now, that's a wrestling point for a lot of preachers, because we've been taught as ministers of God as to what your religious belief is, whatever your denomination is. It becomes highly sensitive that the presentation that we have made points you in the direction that we have been in. And so we have confidence in the place in which God has brought us out of. And so this is what we speak directly to. Not to say there's anything wrong with that, but we speak directly to that. What this does is it points you to us and not to Jesus. There is not one person that is in that has walked through or in and out of a church that does not have a dilemma going on in their life. If anybody tells you that they don't have any issues, any problems, nothing is going wrong with them, they are not being honest with you, because there's always something happening within someone's life that has shaken them and that they haven't recovered from. You know, again, you know, I'm going somewhere. I just want you to just bear with me here for a minute. And in every one of these instances, you know, there is a pastor, preacher, evangelist, someone that is feel as though they are equipped enough to use their situation to tell you about God. I'm going to say that again. To whatever your dilemma is, there is someone, pastor, apostle, preacher, teacher, whomever they are, that feels like they are equipped enough to tell you about God. Some may tell you who God is in full transparency of their failures in life and how they have failed, but yet God didn't fail them. Some will not be completely transparent because they still haven't been delivered from folks knowing what they have done. And then you have those that are not going to tell you anything about their failures. They only want to put, as I heard people say, these rose-colored glasses on regarding their situation as it relates to Jesus. So you have these different presentations that are going on, but yet, even in the process of them wanting to be completely honest with you, it's still a direct point at their own life. And it doesn't point at the life of Jesus Christ, or it does not point to you discovering who God is to you. Now, what I find is interesting now is that we lean on the Bible in its entirety. When I say we lean on it, we speak to what has been written in here, and as if the Bible can speak, and we say, and the Bible says, and the Bible can't say anything unless man repeats it. But I want to show you a pattern here now. We say the word of the Lord says, and we tell people that you cannot change this book, you know, and it has been changed multiple times. We tell people that this is the inspired word of the Lord, but yet is used to manipulate folks to give. The only manipulation that it has in here is when they manipulate folks to give money. So, and it's complete in its form to a certain degree, because even though it says, and we think that it's speaking to the Bible, that you cannot add to or take away from, it was not talking about the Bible, but we like to group all of the discussions in and make, again, the Bible say something, even though it cannot talk, make it say something that it never said. And so now, again now, presentation, difficulty, because the presentation looks like the presenter and not like God. And so then our foundation of our presentation is a book that we call the Bible, but yet we add and we take away from. And now the most mind-blowing situation, and it's going to take me a minute to discuss this next point here because everything led up to here. The most mind-blowing things that are in this book is the complete reference, what it refers to, that we have difficulty in doing. We can probably do so many things that are good in this book and fail at others. But the one thing that is not discussed, that is not talked to or referenced about, is one's ability to speak to or hear from God. This is the main principle from biblical context, from the time that Jesus walked on the earth, right, whether you call it biblical, historical, or during the time of Jesus. One of the things that it speaks to, and it says on a consistent basis, it talks about what God says. Think about this now. This refers to what God has said. Doesn't refer to your opinion, what you think, or even a book that we refer to as the Bible. But this book refers to something outside of it. This book refers to the things that have intricately been spoken to or addressed by God himself. Now, this is this is somewhat difficult for some people to grasp or to think about or to grab a hold of, and that is the ability now to hear from God. Now, let me say something. You know, in this book now, there are multiple times that various writers refer to the Bible and reference God saying. If we look at Genesis chapter number 1, it says, and God said, let there be light. So whatever God said now had more power to it than what one could read. As a matter of fact, knowledge is great, but even reading about what God said does not empower you. But understanding the fact that when God opens his mouth, something happens. And I've said this before, but I'm going a little bit further. Y'all don't mind, I'm gonna go a little bit deeper. And then, you know, you may hear the word of the Lord came as well as having the ear to hear. And I'm gonna read this scripture for you. It's in the book of Jonah chapter number 1. You know, verse number 1, it does the same thing in chapter number 3, verse number 1. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. So now, it didn't say that someone came to Jonah and told him that. It did not say that someone wrote Jonah a letter. It did not say that Jonah read this in a hidden transcript, because when God says something to you, it is said and it is waiting on a response immediately. The only reason why we can read about this is because a writer now gives a dialect to God speaking to Jonah. No one else heard Jonah and God's conversation. No one else talked to Jonah. You know, no one was present when God said what he said to Jonah. This was a conversation between Jonah and God. Now, the writer now is giving you insight to the conversation. Talk to you for a moment. This is some real stuff now, which now previews an ideology or a religion, because now it is believed, based upon the writer sharing this, that everyone is supposed to know what God said to you. And not so, because the conversation that God had to Jonah was between Jonah and God. Now, if God chose to bring someone else into the midst of that discussion, then that's something different. But, you know, this was an issue where Jonah came and said something, or where God came and said something to Jonah, you know. And I want you all to grab a hold of that, because this is not the only place in the book of Genesis and Jonah where the word of the Lord came unto someone that God was speaking to. And I'm not even halfway there. I'm getting there. So if the principle now in this Bible indicates that God has to speak to you, then it kind of destroys two things that I'm going to bring into play now. Because we are philosophical people. I want to say it like that. We have philosophy-based principles that turn into self-help or 1-2-3s dealing with any and every situation. The philosophy of anything can become a Bible in context to what you're doing. You will follow these principles, you know, from a philosophical position at all times. And because we are philosophical people, we tend to believe so is God. Uh-oh. We tend to believe that our ideology or religion is what has been pushed by God. And some man receives a revelation. Out of that revelation, he picks a situation that has happened, and he forms a religion that people will follow, whether it's Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, Holiness, Apostolic, Southern Baptist or Northern Baptist, First Baptist, Second Baptist, Presbyterian, American Episcopal, or A&E, Jehovah's Witness. All these different things are what man made up so that they could give a presentation based upon what they believe to you about who they think God is. I hope y'all getting where I'm going now. And so the failure in this is that in this presentation, you know, there are assumptions that are made. And because these assumptions are made, we have to have interpretation to either make these assumptions sound credible or explain away the thing that was written. People make the assumption that, you know, when God spoke to Jonah in reference to Nineveh, Jonah had a witness that could hear God say this to him. And it's not so. You know, many times God is speaking to you. He's speaking to you. He's not talking to a crowd of people. He's talking to you. Now, again, we have evangelists, prophets, mostly prophets, that a prophetess that will come openly and begin to prophesy to you based upon what they believe that God has said something regarding you. Now, the problem is that God may have said something to them, but did God give them permission to now release what he said? You know, again, this is based upon someone having the ability to hear from God. There is no difficulty in what I'm saying. The simplicity of this states that the principle that is in this book we call the Bible says that God must speak to you and you must hear from him. And these are the principles now. We can talk about faith. We can talk about healing. We can talk about everything else. But if one shut this book, can you hear whatever the Lord is saying to you? That's key now, you know. And I want to take this away from church because I don't want this to be a churchy conversation. In your life, where you are right now, what you may think a deliverer is, you know, have you went to the Lord and has God returned an answer? That is critical now because we have so many things that are going on. Now, you know, give you an example. I'm driving last night, you know, heading home, coming from Florida. And, it's, you know, it wasn't really a long ride. But, when I drive, I think. When I drive, I have opportunity to talk to the Lord. So sometimes I'm in the car, and even if someone was in with me, I could get quiet because I'm listening to the Lord talk to me. And so, and I believe God can talk to you any kind of way that you want to. There is no given way. And I'm cautious about a lot of things. And so I'm getting more apprehensive about some things that God is saying to me. More apprehensive. But at any rate, and I want to babble on about anything. You know, driving last night, God speaks to me about some things. And these things are just going through my mind, and I'm driving, and you know, it gets dark, and so the darkness doesn't matter, you know, headlights out, you know, or working, and so, but it's just that it gets dark, and so I can see where I'm going in the dark because my headlights are working, you know, and I passed this gentleman or lady, I don't know who it was. It's dark out, and they have one headlight working, and it's dim, but the other headlight is out. And so don't know why they wouldn't stop and get it fixed or anything of that nature. But I noticed that the car stayed close to cars that had brighter lights. I noticed that. And so when I would speed up, he would speed up. When I would slow down and get over, he would slow down. And so then I noticed that, you know, if a car passed him and the lights wasn't that bright, he didn't follow them. He didn't follow them. He trusted to stay behind someone that lights were brighter than he is. Now, to me, unless he had some type of financial situation going on, all he had to do was go get the headlights fixed, you know, and then he would meet the lights of someone else to drive in dark places. I just want y'all to hear what I'm saying tonight. It's easier for someone to go have a conversation with the light, Jesus himself, talking about God. So if I don't confuse anybody, I believe that Jesus is God. I don't believe in a Trinitarian doctrine of the you know, that God is separated in three people. It says completely that God is a spirit. And who should I worship them? The worship in spirit and in truth. And so God being a spirit, his spirit is holy, right? And so there's no difference from God and the Holy Spirit because it is him. You know, the Holy Spirit is a portion of himself, but it's him. It's not a different being there or man made up Trinitarian doctrine. I don't believe that because, again, this is man talking where God never said that. So, you know, and we are cautious now because we tell people that, you know, we don't want you to add to the Bible or take away from it. So if you don't add to it, how do you come up with Trinitarian doctrine? If you don't add to it, how do you come up with all these denominations and religions? See, these are things that man added. And so I'm cautious about that. But my point is that if your lights are dim, get new headlights. Don't trust the lights, even though they're brighter in the dark, of someone because you really can't see. Because the other thing, and I wasn't there to see it, was an accident on my way going back into the Atlanta area. Don't know what caused the accident, but it's dark. What I do know is that because of the accident, now this man finds himself, you know, getting separated from me and now having to trust the light of someone else brighter than he is because he decided to take this journey that he was on without proper headlights. And now his headlight could have went out on him while he was traveling. That happened, you know. But now he's trusting someone else's light, not knowing where they are going. I hope I'm making myself clear. You know, again, we have so much confidence in people to tell us what's right, to tell us what we should be doing, to tell us where we should go, to tell us how we should do it. And you're your own person. You want to do things your own way, you know. But it's explicitly important for you, that individual, to have a connection so tight with God. I don't even know how tight it is. But when God tells you something, you know it is the voice of the Lord. I don't want anybody following me. That's not my purpose. I'm not that guy. I'm not that dude. You know, I don't want anybody following me. I want to be sure that I point you to Jesus Christ, the only true God. I believe Jesus is God. That's my belief, because everything he said indicated that they are. They are one. Jesus is God. God is Jesus. God is Jesus manifested in the flesh. And so God manifested himself through the flesh, and through that flesh was Jesus. So saying all of that, you know, either you trust the completeness of the writings, or you hear from God. Now, somebody told me the Bible has never been changed. And I found that to be hilarious. You know, I think someone said something to me, you know, that 300 years from now, the Bible will look the same. I just don't believe it is. You know, you have, if I go to Bible.com, you have over probably 40 different translations already of what one is saying that the Bible says. And again, Bible can't say anything because it doesn't have a voice. You know, but only people that repeat the Bible are supposed to be spiritual leaders and things of that nature. It's not me being facetious, but I'm making a point that the Bible don't say anything, because now we try to associate what God is saying to you versus what was written in biblical context. And if you can't find it in biblical context, then you won't believe that God is saying it to you. But I want to be elementary with you right now, because of all the responses I've gotten. I want to be elementary with you right now. If you look at the timeline of when the Bible was put together, there was no way that the readers of it today would have seen the different aspects as it was pieced together in time. So there's a number of years that books were added, and yet it says don't add to or take away from. So how do you add books to this thing we call the Bible up to when it was completed, and it says don't add to it? But yet then there's a scripture in here that says that God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. If he did not need this book to save those that walk with him, why do you need it? Comes a much more interesting question, because if you have an ear to hear from God and you're going wherever the Lord sends you, and it is not churchy, it is an assignment, then I would have to ask and ponder this question. And I know you all going, I'm ready for the backlash, I'm ready for the phone to just jump off the hook. Why do you go to church? If all you have to do is hear from God, if God so wants to talk to you, if he so wants to commune with you, part of the tabernacle means a dwelling place. The Garden of Eden was the place where God would dwell with his creation. Why do you go to church? What has made that building and the gathering of people that do or don't believe, you know, what has made that building the word of the Lord? If you can hear from God, God didn't speak to Noah in a building. He was outside. He didn't tell Jonah to go to Nineveh from inside a building. He was outside. Says the word of the Lord came. You read Jonah chapter number 1. The word of the Lord came. Jonah chapter number 3. The word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. So if God keeps speaking and the word keeps coming to them, how much have God said things to you that you are having a fight amongst yourself because you have not let go of your own thinking? It's not so much to hear from a pastor. Now we're getting to the point of you hearing from God. And what God is telling you, you're having a fight with him like Jonah. It's not necessarily you put up a fight, but God said something to Jonah first, and Jonah decided not to do it. So in some cases, it's not that God ain't talking to you. It's just that what the Lord said to you, you decided not to do it. You're giving God pushback. We all know what that is, but, you know, we giving God pushback from the things that God is asking of you to do. He didn't ask you for no man. He didn't bring no friend. He didn't bring no prophet. Jonah was known as one of the minor prophets, but he didn't go outside of anybody. He came to directly to Jonah and said it to him, take up, I need you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah decided, oh, no, I'm going to do my own thing. Oh, no, I've been like this for a minute. I ain't changed. You know, I'm compelled at this moment. Because when you remove everything around you, when you just discard everything around you, and you get down to the brass tacks of anything, it's what God has released over your life from what he has said that has got you to this point. Even if you kicked against what God was telling you to do, he loves you enough to bring you to this point. Don't need a pastor, a preacher, or a teacher to tell you what God has been telling you for months, possibly for years. And it's still a struggle in your spirit because it's not something that you want to do. It's not the place that you want to be in. It's not the people that God wants you, that you want to be around. Listen to me real well, and I'm taking this real slow. You know, there is no logic that you can come up with in your decision to disobey God. Because again now, nobody was privy to the conversation between God and Jonah. No one. No one is privy to the conversation that God had with you. No one was privy to what God was going to do with David. No one was privy to how God dealt with Moses and Joshua. A writer now is telling you the story. But the truth of the matter is that God didn't allow these stories to be told for you to look more into the morals of the story. There's an undergird. There's an underlying principle that is illuminating itself because your light is not bright enough. There's an underlying principle that has undergirded these 66 books. That this principle indicates that God has something to say to you, and he wants you to listen to him. If there's ever a time in a dilemma that's so difficult, so crazy, so bad, so evil, so dangerous, it is that time right now, not because of the present climate and the virus, but that what makes this a dangerous time is that we have shut our ears off into God. This is what makes this time dangerous. Let's take it away from the church. Let's not get involved in the pulpit and walking through the church doors. If you can't hear God before you go into that building, and he's trying to talk you out before you go into that building, you're just going into the building for ritual's sake. It's a custom. You've been made to believe that walking into that building brings you closer to God, and it doesn't. Dear hearts, this is not complicated. This is simple. For every dilemma that you have going on, God is trying to speak to you. You no different. I was that person at one point in my life, driving with one good headlight, trying to follow behind someone their headlights were brighter than mine, and almost get caught up into a trance following somebody like that, because when they swerve, you swerve. When they exit, you almost exit with them. If you don't know where you're going, you're taking the same exit. When they abruptly stop, you stop. Not because you're so close, because I need your light. Risking the ticket, following too close. Can't follow Christ too close. You can follow man too close, thinking they're leading you to Christ. But is that what God said to you? Is it? We can follow too close. And when God holds that person up in front of you, be it if it's an accident or not, you can suddenly be involved with it by following too close. You can follow a man too close and be in just as much danger as the person is driving the vehicle that they're in. Because you have no way of knowing where they're leading you. We have no way of knowing. Dear hearts, I really impress upon you today. Because, you know, again, this is a difficult time. Some may call this dangerous. Some may call this unforgiving. But they're really addressing COVID-19. They're really addressing that. They're not trying to address anything else because they have no clue about anything else. The very thing that was given for them to know, they rejected it. I said all that and I'm coming to a conclusion. The time for listening to pastors tell you where God is leading you with your life has been over a long time ago. A pastor has a responsibility of a vision that God has given them for a local area. That's the pastor's responsibility, is to hear from God. That's what his responsibility is to hear from God. And whatever the assignment is in that community or that local, that pastor to fulfill that. But not please or appease people. The pastor has to hear from God. And so many pastors today, and they're not, I don't think they're doing it. Some it may be misleading, you know, from a very high level. And that is dangerous. You know, but, you know, the pastor's presentation of anyone that is talking to you about Jesus can only present Jesus based upon where they failed and Jesus stepped in. That's how they're going to know. That's how they present him. So they cannot present him without putting themselves out there and now not knowing that the person that is listening to you is listening to you. You now have stepped in front of God and you're pointing them at you, which is a bad thing to do. Dear heart, it is critical in this hour. The time is drawing near. Time that you cannot get back has passed. Rain has already fallen, and it has already hit the ground to water the seed. Everything that needed to happen up until this very moment in your life has happened. Whether you know about it or not, it has taken place. Whether you have been informed about it, it still has taken place. There is nothing new to God that is going on with you. Nothing. Matter of fact, God knows more about your next step than you do. He knows more about how you're going to handle this next step than you do. And the only way you can find out what's next is that you talk to him. You have a one-on-one with God. Don't believe at any point because God told you something and he wants to share that with other people. You don't, you know, he could. I've never seen him do that. You know, people share things. People are the reason why they have problems with churches and pastors and things like that. It's people. It's not the building. The building can only keep you in shelter, keep you, you know, from the rain, shelter you from the rain, keep you inside at night from the dark. That's the only thing it could do. The power in everything that is going on in your life can really be orchestrated to a higher level if you only hear from God. You. Not me hearing from God for you. Not the pastor hearing from God from you or your overseer or pastor, your spiritual leader. It is that you stop and recognize that God is trying to talk to you. And you take the opportunity to listen and have the will and the intestinal fortitude to obey. It's going to sound crazy. It may even sound difficult. But if you take this opportunity and you hear from God, there's a higher level of authority that God gives you. Doesn't make you important than anybody else. Not at all. It doesn't. You know, it's just how God is going to use you to function. My prayer tonight, embarking this new year, this third Saturday, excuse me, this third Tuesday, this third Tuesday in this year, in the month of January, God is still speaking to me to encourage you to hear from him. What a God that would want to talk to you. Kind of God do we serve that would not want to talk to you? I serve a God that constantly says, I need to talk to you. Make time. Hear from the Lord. Invest in that. I'm not telling you to follow your knees every morning at 9 o'clock and pray. There's a difference between praying and then stopping what you're doing. You can be walking and praying, but you can be working and talking to the Lord. But I want to share this greater principle with you. And when you get a chance, go back in Genesis chapter number 1. And 1 and 2, and read this. I would just want you to read it. I don't want to come to God in prayer for things. I don't want to do that. And the reason why I don't want to do that is because we read it all the time when we talk about dominion, that God gave Adam dominion over all of these things. God said it, that means he spoke. Adam heard him, and he had that authority. That's what it says. So God has been speaking for a number of years, you know, decades, centuries, he's been talking. He has not stopped, and he will continue to talk. But who will listen? Dear heart, some will leave that with you. God is constantly talking, but who will listen? Pray with your brother. Gracious God, we thank you, oh God. We appreciate you, Lord, that you bring us into your presence and we don't have a need because you supplied everything. You gave us dominion over the rest of the stuff, but you supplied it, Father. You are the provider, and we thank you for that. be with the ears of the listener. Father, you unblock what you need to unblock, and Father, you present yourself to them like no one else ever has. Lord, I thank you, oh God, for all the listening ears, and for you being able to challenge me to stand up, Father, and tell the truth. I bless you, oh God. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Well, dear hearts, there are many of you that are sending me messages, and I do appreciate them. I see them, you know. I know we have presented Christ Jesus, but we've done it from a level of Christianity where we've been trying to create cookie cutters. And even though people buck against it, you know, they still have a version of us in them. I don't want to present myself. Let me introduce you to the one that made you, the one that loves you. Regardless of what happens, he will always be there. Let me introduce you to God. He's been there from the beginning of your life. He'll be there to the very end of it, and after this life, into the next life. Amen. Again, thank you all. Shout out to Pastor Heflin, a very good friend of mine. You know, he is a professor of psychology that teaches at University of Florida and Valencia College in Orlando. From my understanding, he is getting ready to teach online for Princeton University, and that's a blessing that they would have reached out to him because of his work that he's done to want to have him be a professor of psychology for Princeton University. So God bless you, my friend. I pray that all goes well and it's in the hands of the Lord. I'm grateful to know you and to call you my friend. Many of you, you know, again, are sending in requests and things of that nature. I have not agreed in my present position that I'm in to hit the road and travel to come speak at other places. I'm going to be cautious, and as the Lord has spoken to me to be cautious. And so when God gives me the green light to travel again and preach, I'll do that. You know, I'm not pressed to preach anywhere. I just love the things that God has given me to do right now. And when he says go, I'll be in the blocks ready to do it, you know. I love him that much. Again, too grateful to the Lord for all of you all's prayers, your comments, and things of that nature. God knows it's a lot of you all, and in the midst of all of that, it's no reflection of me, but it says how much you love the Lord, and I'm going to continue to point you to God. I want to bring this up very, very quickly before I close. If the Lord should speak to you, I want you all to start thinking about doing something in your local community with helping folks that feed the homeless, feed those that may still be in their home, but just need a little help here and there. I don't take up a collection. I won't do that. And so you all put your resources together, you know, for wherever you are, and if it can only help two families, I mean, praise the Lord. If you can get many people to come in with you to help prepare, you know, meals, or people that don't have clothing, give them clothing, and or some that just need help, just point them in the right direction. You know, I believe that you all can consistently put those endeavors together and bless the people and be the hand of God as you go forward. I just believe that. And so you don't have to, you know, send me no money. I don't ask for money on this, you know. I would rather that you take those funds or resources and you just be the hand of the Lord to those people in your present community where you are to help them. Amen. But I appreciate all of you. I wanted to slide that in there because I had a couple of comments regarding that. You know, God is good to me. I mean, shoot. God has been tremendously good to me, and I am grateful. Y'all keep me in your prayers. Pray for me as I pray for you. Amen. God bless all of you. Until next Tuesday, I look forward to doing this again. God bless.